Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, Calvary Church, and welcome to week number one of our summer speaker series. You know what? We look forward to this month every year as friends of Calvary, friends of Pastor Susan and I, come to be with us to share the Word of God. Our guest speaker this morning is a good friend from Toronto, Ontario. Pastor Paul Koo is the lead pastor of Willowdale Life Church in North York. He and his wife have been good friends of Susan and I for many years, and we're excited to see what he continues to do there with their church. And so it's a great day to have Paul here with us. Hopefully he'll be here in person sometime, but this year he's able to preach right from his home church and bring that content to you. So throw some hearts up in the chat as we welcome Pastor Paul Koo.
Hello, Calvary. So honored and so glad that I can be here to share the Word of God with you. I want to thank your pastors for allowing me to share the Word of God with you this morning. I want you to know that your pastors and I, Pastor Steve and Pastor Susan, they've been friends with me and my wife for a long, long time. In fact, we knew each other before they had their boys. So that's, you can imagine how long that had been. And so we love each other. We have laughed together. We celebrated together. We rejoiced together in our victories, and we cried together in our failures or disappointments. So your pastors is one of the few that I have been very close to for a long, long time. You know, when you come to my, you get to my age, I'm 53, you can see my white hair, you know, you cannot say that you will know that you won't have too many friends that would be around for over 20 or 30 years, and some will travel with you for a season, and then they'll go off and with their lives, or at my age, some of them had passed away, you know, but you know, to have friends that have stuck with you for all this time is absolutely amazing and special. And I know that Pastor Steve is also an incredibly anointed preacher, you know. I remember when we were much younger, I'd invited him, you know, even back then to my youth group to preach. And boy, he made all of us laugh. And we really enjoy the sharing and so forth, you know. And of course, throughout the years, I've heard him preach, and very anointed, and you also have a very creative, both of them are very creative pastors, and you're blessed to have pastors like that because they have a generous heart, they have the kindest heart, and I know you guys are going to do amazing things when we come out of this, you know, COVID nightmare, you know, but I just want to bless you, and I'm praying that God is going to just cause Calvary to be a force to be reckoned with in Vancouver, and that we can't wait to hear more amazing news coming out of your church. I know that God has amazing plans for you. But anyways, today I've been asked to share with you briefly what's in my heart, and so what I want to do is I'm actually some of you don't know, but I actually recently wrote a book called Contending for Rest. You know, trying to give a plug to the book. Here's the book. You know, Contending for Rest, and I'm going to be preaching from there. And I want to encourage you because of the time that we have is very, very short. I can only give you a few pointers. I'd encourage you to go and acquire the book. You can get it from Amazon or whatever. But I'm also giving your pastor the permission. If you don't want to buy the book, they can photocopy the book for you because I think it's going to be a blessing to you. So I'm not here to try to sell books and make money. I believe you me, that there's not much to make anyway. But you know, I believe the message in there is for the church today. And so I'm going to be preaching from there called Contending for Rest. Okay, so now, you know, in the modern economy that we're living in, people are always looking for solutions to find relief for their stress. We're living in a very stressful season. You know, people are looking for different solutions to relieve their stress. You know, before the COVID came down, you know, people would be going to spa, calm, often, you know, just to relieve the stress, to relax themselves. Or you know, the worldly people and would do yoga or you know, even going vacation or learning different meditation techniques. And in fact, you know, the people that use substances like alcohol and even drugs just to help them to release from their stress. And, you know, we know that stress contributes to many health problems also, you know, from heart disease to diabetes to cancer and even miscarriage, you know. A recent study tells us that 77% of the people experience physical symptoms caused by stress. That's very high. And the same study also found that 73% of them regularly experience psychological symptoms that caused by stress in their lives. And 48% of people experience, watch this, an increased stress over the last 5 years. Now, this study was done prior to COVID, and I can imagine how much more. You know, my wife actually works in Canada's, she's a researcher at Canada's largest mental health institution called CAMH. And they will tell you that they are, in their studies, they are finding that in this COVID season, there are many, many people experiencing literally mental breakdown because they've been isolated, so on and so forth. And, you know, and 33% of the people actually say they have extreme stress. These are the people that had to go on drugs, you know, prescription drugs, and probably some other non-prescription drugs, you know, just to relieve stress. What's the solution for this hour and this time? What's God's solution? Well, I really believe the solution that came from God is rest. You know, the Bible is actually a manual for rest. Many cannot rest because, you know, we are concerned about the fact that we might be falling behind, be falling behind, you know, of the society, you know. Our cultural upbringings, you know, in North America, our cultural upbringing is so opposed to the idea of just rest. We need to succeed. We need to do more. You know, as an Asian, you know, our family background is that, man, they will push you, trying to push you to be more successful than ever before. And you know, so even as a young age, you know, like in my upbringing, you know, you have to have good marks. You have to have, you know, good, you know, involved in different extracurriculum, you know. You have to, you know, get piano lesson and violin lesson and, you know, and, you know, after a day of work, it's not enough. You have to go to a tutorial. There's a lot of stress. So the idea of rest, it's very foreign to many people in this modern economy. But modern sociologists and psychologists will tell you that rest is not only good for your health. Listen to me, church. Rest is actually very critical for your success. I want to touch on a couple of points today, but I will show you, if you know, in hopefully by the end of our conversation and perhaps when you read the book, you will discover the type of rest that will bring you breakthrough and success that you can never imagine before. I will tell you my personal story. I remember when I first started this church, man, I tried everything under the sun. I was looking at, not just trying, but worried about everything. You know, as a church, you know, a church that is, you know, that you pioneer, you know, you have to worry about the finances. You know, you have nobody. And then, of course, you worry about attendance, right? And then you worry about, you know, many things you have to worry about. And so I was stressful. I was stressed out. And then I would be in fasting and praying, and I would just be worrying about, oh my Lord, you know, are we even going to have church next week? We used to meet on Saturday night when we first got started, but even Saturday night or Sunday morning, every time before I preach or before I went to church in the weekend, I would be so stressful and scared because I don't know if anybody going to show up that day, you know. So, but what I discovered was that, you know, one day while I was praying to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said to me, stand down. At the time, I didn't understand what that meant. I said, stand down. God, are you kidding me? You see, I come from a sales environment. I used to be a sales representative and then an account executive and then become a sales manager, regional directors, and become vice president of the corporation, you know, of a high-tech corporation. But you know, in all that, what I learned was you have to be super, super busy all the time and be stressful all the time. We will leave no stone unturned to make sure that we have a good quarter. Every single quarter is a stressful quarter. So for me, when the Lord says, stand down, I say, this cannot be from the Lord. Get thee behind me, Satan, you know? That's how I felt. Stand down. This makes no sense at all. But you know, as I begin to continue to meditate and worship the Lord, the Holy Spirit began to give me the peace and the assurance to obey that voice that called me to stand down. He said, for those of us who have discovered rest, we'll tell you that when you are rested truly, not in the human way, but in the way that God has prescribed, you will find incredible breakthrough, not only in your health and your sanity, but God himself will intervene to bless you. You know, Jesus' calling is actually a calling to humanity to rest. You know, Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, I'm sure many of you Christians know about it. He said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle, look very resting, right? And lowly in spirit. You see, the promise of our faith is the promise of rest. Do you realize that? The promise of faith, our faith, is actually a promise of rest. You see, how do I know that, Pastor? It's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. It tells us that we who have believed, have you believed? We who have believed in Jesus, have you believed in Jesus? We who have believed enter that rest. We who have believed enter that rest. So if that is true, if that is the promise of God, why are so many believers not in rest? What's the disconnect between the promises of God and what we're actually living every day? You know, as a pastor, I want to tell you this, is that believers are not exempt from painful experiences in their life. I want to teach you this today, that you can find that rest. You know, I've lost my father recently. You know, before COVID, you know, I lost my father-in-law. I lost my mother-in-law. Well, some people, they're not close to their father or mother-in-law. Man, my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, they were like my parents too, like my second set of parents, you know. I loved them dearly, and I really admired them, and I lost them. Each of the losses brought incredible pain that I cannot describe with words. Jesus never promised that I will not experience those pain. But I want to tell you this. In the midst of all those pain, I discover when I enter into that rest, that heaviness, that pain would dissolve away. All the questions that I would have, all the whys, all the anger, when I enter into that rest, they would melt away. I don't need drugs to help me. I don't need alcohol to help me. I got the presence of God in his rest to relieve me. Now, let's talk about biblical rest right now. The first thing I want to do today is to help you to understand the concept of rest in the eyes of God. You know, when Jesus said rest, a lot of us would think that he meant laying down in a bed or some hammock at some beaches doing nothing. Though I do believe rest may include at times lying down and do absolutely nothing. But it is not the actual rest that the Bible promises. So let me show you, okay? Now, if you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read from verse 1, okay? Now, verse 1, it says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Reach what? Reach the rest. For good news came to us just as to those people of Israel that was coming out of Egypt. The promise came to us just as to them. But the message they heard, those Jews who heard those message in the wilderness, it did not benefit them. The message of rest, didn't benefit them. Why? Because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Verse 4. For he has spoken somewhere of the seventh day in this way. And God rested, I'm going to say it again, God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Now skip to verse 10. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works. His works, the persons who wants to rest, must also rest from his works as God did from his own works. Now, verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Sounds paradoxical. Strive and rest don't usually find them in the same sentence. But here it is. Strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sorts of disobedience. Notice in verse 4 and verse 10, we read that God has rested from his own works. What does that mean? Did God start to lay on a hammock and just do nothing anymore? You know, from that, many people would assume that God has stopped doing anything after he created Adam and Eve. Is that true? Well, let's find out. In John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus seemed to have contradicted what was understood as God rested after he created the mankind. Jesus in John chapter 5, 17 said this, my Father, that would be God, who rested after 7 days, is working still until now as I am working. In other words, from the time the Bible declared that God had rested from his own works to the time when Jesus was on earth, according to Jesus, God has been working. Whoa, what's going on? So it would seem that the Bible is actually contradicting itself. Now, this is only true, listen to me, my friends. If true biblical rest actually means doing nothing, rather, the human idea of rest is quite different from what God has in mind. Now, as you know, Hebrews chapter 4, you may not know, but if you're a Bible theologian, you'll know, that we're looking at actually speak of the experience of the Jewish people leaving Egypt and possessing the promise that God had given them. Now, according to Hebrews 4, the reason God took the Jews, the sons of Jacob, out of Egypt to the promised land was not so that they can just enter into the promised land, fulfill what God has promised to Abraham. Yes, he wanted to fulfill his promise that he had given to Abraham, and he wanted them to enter into the place of great abundance, flowing with milk and honey. But mostly, he wanted to give the people of Israel rest. Rest from slavery of the Egyptian task masters. Rest from being abused. Rest from being bullied at work, in society. Rest, most importantly, in His presence. Today, God continues to call you and I and all His people out of that yoke of slavery, that place of great anxiety, the place of great stress. Just as He had wanted to rescue the Jews from strife, stress, labor, and heavy laden, God is calling many of us who are under a tremendous burden of life and the yoke of the worldly system to enter into His rest. Now in Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 say, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit yourself again to the yoke of slavery." In other words, reject those ideas that say in order for you to experience God's rest, you need to fulfill all kinds of religious bondages and rigmaroles. You need to put yourself under those yoke again. Apostle Paul tells us that we must stand firm in our freedom. Don't let people steal that freedom from you. They're telling you the grace of God is not enough. You need more than the grace of freedom from condemnation, freedom from religious guilt. We also need to remove the wrong ideas about striving for God's love. It's like a child needs to strive for the love of the Father, his own Father. Our Father is not like that. We need to change our thinking that we don't need to strive to earn His love. He loved you already. He died on the cross for you. Many people are working super hard to earn the love and the approval of God. Friends, the God you serve, the God I serve, He is not like any other God in the world, that He had all the expectation and He wants you to earn His love. Because He has exhausted His love already on you. He can't give you any more love than He already given you. He's a God of grace and God of mercy. A God who loves us very much. You know, I realized that my time is up because I've been preaching a long time. I feel like I'm preaching a long time. I don't know how long I've been preaching. But you know, I just want you to know this. I can hear some pastors, and maybe Pastor Steve and Pastor Susan will be nervous now. What do you mean? You're telling people don't work? That's not what I'm saying. Realize this. When you discover the rest of God, I'm going to close with this. When you discover the rest of God, you cannot help yourself but discover how much He loves you. You cannot help yourself but to want to serve. That's a difference between get to and got to. You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, I got to go to church." They missed it. "Oh, I got to go and do the worship today. Oh, I got to preach today. Oh, I got to go and become, you know, serve God this, then." No, they have missed it. We don't got to do anything. We get to. Why is that? What's the difference? The difference is that it's a privilege. I find it an amazing privilege to serve God. I find it an amazing privilege to love on people. I find it a privilege to be able to preach to you today. It's not I got to. I love Jesus so much and that I get to do this so that other people can be blessed. You know, Paul says this very clearly in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. In that scripture that he talks about falling from grace, is that don't use your freedom to indulge in yourself, your own desire, your own lust. But use your freedom. You're so free now to do what? To love one another, to serve. Actually, specifically to serve one another in love. And that's his encouragement. And so when you have found true rest, and I just pray that for the next few months while you guys are still in summer holidays and lockdown or whatever, discover the rest of God, the true rest of God. And out of that, man, I tell you, when you come back to serve in church, You have this heart and attitude that you really love to be in the house of God. You have found rest, and you're not contending with the worldly system and the yoke of the world to take so much energy away from you that you have no energy to serve God. It's that you're doing it because you feel sorry for your pastor. You're doing it because you want to keep some sort of organization going. Friends, I want you to ask that you release that to the Lord. You come into the place of rest. And in that place of rest, He's going to give you amazing strength, amazing breakthroughs. And through that, you serve one another in love. You will not find it is tiresome. It's a dread to serve God. You'll be excited like David was when he said, I was glad when they say unto me, come on, man, let's go to church. I hope that will be your experience. I want to thank you for the opportunity to allow me to speak into your lives. I want to thank Pastor Steve and Pastor Susan for giving me the honor to do so. I pray that the Lord will let you find rest. Let me pray for you before I go. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will shower your Holy Spirit on Calvary, a church with an amazing destiny. And I pray for all the pastors, from Pastor Steve and Pastor Susan to all the pastoral staff, to all the staff in the church doing amazing works in BC. I pray for this hour that you will shower upon them that grace to find rest. And when they have discovered your rest, I know they will blossom beyond their wildest imagination in their own personal walk with you. And as a church, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. I hope to see you one day in Vancouver. Or if you come to Toronto, you can visit our church. I love you very much. I love your pastors. And may the Lord richly bless you. Goodbye.